This week, as I was spending time in my personal meditation and private time of devotion, I came up on this verse in Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 8 that says, "But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. You are all the work of we are all the work of your hands." And as I was thinking about it, and as I was meditating on this passage of Scripture, this overwhelming thought was, well then, since when do we, his clay, tell the potter, "You really messed up"? We look at our lives, and many of us probably can see all of our faults, and we think, how in the world can God love me or use me? As young adults, sometimes we may even go so far as to think, oh, how in the world will I ever find that special someone for me? I'm such a slob. I am so unorganized, whatever the case may be. You know, they look at me. I'm disfigured, whatever the case may be. And oftentimes we come to the point in our lives where we say, "God, you really screwed up. You have made so many mistakes in my life." And the truth of the matter is, it's not God that made the mistakes in our lives. We're just not man enough or woman enough to say, "I've failed. I've made a mistake." You don't believe me? For those who have small children, when they go and they do something that you don't want them to do, you say, "You were bad. You shouldn't have done that." Well, it wasn't my fault. It's my sister's fault, my brother's fault, or the next door neighbor's fault. And I've used all of those. So I know what I'm talking about. So as I was meditating on this passage of Scripture, I thought, well, where else does it talk about potters and clay and so on? And I found Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 1 through 6. It says, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord was, "Arise, go down to the potter's house, and there I will let you hear my words." So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was working at his wheel. And the vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand. And he reworked it into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to do. So the word of the Lord came to me, "O house of Israel, I cannot do with you as this potter has done, declares the Lord. Behold, like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel." And in those passages of Scripture, I began to realize that very, very realistically, we are, in God's hands, lumps of clay. And God, in all of the things that happen in our lives, all of the circumstances that take place in our lives, we think, oh, they're just so horrible. I didn't get the job that I wanted. I didn't get the girlfriend or the wife that I wanted. I didn't get the car that I wanted. After all, it was supposed to be a Dually, Dodge, setting up about this high, you know, four-wheel drive. And because I didn't get that, it's all God's fault that my life isn't turning out the way that I thought it should. If everything had gone the way I wanted it to, I would really have it made. I would have this really huge house just outside of town with an in-ground swimming pool and a garage with all the cars that I would be owning and the boats and the ATVs and the snowmobiles, and the list goes on and on. Because as human beings, so often, all we can think about is what would make us believe that we're happy. I was reading an article earlier this week about a fellow that lived through the Depression. He lived just outside of Pittsburgh, which even through the Depression, many, many people in and around Pittsburgh still had a job because that was the big steel-making area of the country at the time. But unfortunately, his father wasn't skilled in any of the metal arts, so to speak. And so they moved usually within a year, year and a half, because, well, they got to where his parents couldn't pay the rent and they would fall further and further behind, and then they would be evicted and they would have to find another place to live. And this was the practice, and this is what happened throughout his years growing up. And he could remember as a young person going to the library and discovering books and reading about all of the different places and things, the Hardy Boys and Tom Swift and all of these fictional characters at the library. And then, lo and behold, before long, there were the theaters started cropping up, whatever the right term for that is. And for 15 cents, he could get in on Saturday morning and watch movies almost all day long. And he would see these same characters, but these characters didn't live the type of life he pictured in his mind as he was reading the books. Andy Rooney was his Andy Hardy. Lived as a playboy. His father was a judge, and Andy Hardy would go from the house that had a swimming pool to the country club that had a swimming pool, and he had a car, and he had all of these things. And this fellow started looking at his life, and he said, "My goodness, compared to Andy Hardy, my life was a wreck. My life was horrible." But the thing is, even in that article, this fellow was looking at nothing more than the material aspect of what these people were, fictional characters, were living through. Unfortunately, even in today's society, even more so than back then, we have the inability to grasp what reality is and what's fiction, even when we're watching the news. And take my word for it, regardless of whether you think you're watching the Fox News and getting all the news exactly 100% right with whatever it is that you think Fox News is good for, and that everything that they say is dripping with perfection, or whether you're a CNN person, or whether you're like me and, well, you just catch it every now and again and it doesn't really matter. It's all perspective. The thing that we have to understand is if we want to experience true happiness in our lives, is that we have to give in to the potter. We have to give in to God and allow Him to make and mold us into the people that He would have us to be. The problem is, so often, we become so rigid in what we think we are supposed to have and what we're supposed to do and what we want and what we want and what we want. We forget what the Word of God tells us, and that is that we aren't here for what we want. Each and every one of us is here for only one thing, and only one thing is what pleases God, and that is our love, our respect, our worship, our praise, and our service to Him. And for each and every one of us, those things are going to come across differently. Andy and I aren't going to worship the same. God's vision and desire for us isn't going to be the same because we're two different individuals. But God expects just as much from Andy as He does from me. During the 70s, there was this fellow who had the idea that there was no perfect will of God and that everything we do is just based on our whim. Well, that's not what the Word of God says. How many people have ever had the opportunity to see pottery actually being made? It's a very, very interesting process. I had a chance in high school. One of my high school teachers was very much into pottery. In fact, he quit teaching at the Christian school to become a potter. Because these passages of Scripture that talk about pottery and the potter and making pottery became so overwhelming for him that he wanted to understand exactly what that process was. And he actually ended up using that process to bring honor and glory to God through the pottery that he made and the demonstrations that he gave at churches and Christian schools and different other ways of sharing the gospel. But it's interesting. They sit down at this pottery wheel. Now the true potters all have this foot pedal that they press, and that pottery, and it makes the pottery wheel go around. And they prefer that because some things they want the wheel to go around very fast. Other things they don't want the wheel to go around quite as fast. And they'll have a little bucket of water right here, and the wheel's right here. And they'll take anywhere from a pound to, I think, as many as 5 pounds is the most I've ever heard of anybody doing. And you take it and you plop it down in the wheel. And as the wheel's spinning, the first thing that the potter does is he puts that clay smack dab in the center of that wheel. And in our lives, that's what God wants us to be. Right smack dab in the middle of His will for us. And has that clay is centered up just perfect, the potter will begin to place one hand on the center and start pushing the clay out and up against this other hand. And as that wheel is spinning, that clay will come up and he'll work it up. And if it's something like a glass or a vase, he'll work it up and work it up. If he doesn't have it smack dab in the center of the wheel, all of a sudden the sides of that clay pot will just collapse in. And that's exactly the way it is with our lives when we're not in the center of God's will. Now, we may have started out there. That vase or that pot may have started out in the center of that wheel. But just like for when that potter is working on that pot, it may become uncentered as he's working on it. And that pot is going to collapse. It's going to fall apart. As we get outside of God's will, the center, absolute center of God's will for our lives, we're going to be just like that pot. Our lives are going to collapse around us. The relationships in our lives are going to begin to collapse around us because we're not in the center of God's will. As a young man, rather than waiting on God to bring the right person into my life that He would have me to marry the first time, which should have been the only time, I picked somebody that I thought would be just right for me. She could cook. Lord have mercy, could she cook. She knew how to make banana pudding from scratch. I mean, I'm talking about where you take the flour and you put it in the pan and you pour a little milk and a little
butter
and milk. All that good stuff makes homemade banana pudding absolutely out of this world good. And she could make a meringue that she would bake into the top of it. Oh, out of this world. For those who were diabetics, you couldn't have any because, doggone, you would have to be poking all kinds of insulin in, trying to catch up with how much sugar you had in your system. That's how good that banana pudding was. She knew how to fry okra. Just absolutely perfect. So this had to be God's will for my life. She knew how to cook the way I like to be cooked for. You know what? That wasn't in God's will. And that piece of clay that's me got off center. And my life collapsed. It took a long time for me to figure out where God's center, the very center of God's will was. Now I admit, today's message is more for our young adults than it is for some of us older timers. Well, I'm not really an older timer yet. I don't admit it. Landy says, okay.
Borderline.
One foot on the banana peel, the other in the grave. Is that what you're trying to tell me? Okay. This message is more geared toward our young adults. Regardless of what you're doing today, I encourage you to stop doing what you're doing and ask God what it is He wants you to do with your life. What is, God, the center of your life or your will for my life? The problem often becomes that we become a rigid, unmoldable vessel. Using some of the old King James language. Pot, vase, cup, plate, bowl, whatever the case may be. We become so rigid in what we believe that we're supposed to be doing and what we want, satisfying our most selfish desires or desiring to reach satisfying those selfish desires that we become rigid and God can't mold us into the people that He would have us to be. He can't make our lives what it is He wants us to be. You've heard the term, well, sometimes God uses a broken vase in a greater way than He did a vase that was never broken at all. That's hogwash. I'm here to tell you what. That's hogwash. God uses you in spite of being broken. The most important place is for us to remain able, or to be able to allow God to make us and mold us into who He wants us to be and what He wants our lives to be and make us available to impact the lives that He wants us to impact. And that doesn't make any difference if you're 18, 21, or 101. God wants us to remain pliable, just like the clay is to the potter. Because a potter is working on a vase, for example. Maybe he gets so far and he realizes, wow, that's kind of a cool design. But if I narrow up the top, and how they do that is they'll start to bring their hand in like this on the outside and start to turn their hand up on the inside. Well, the stronger ones use one finger. The weaker ones will use two or three fingers. And they'll begin to form the top into a narrower thing, or perhaps they decide, oh, this will make a great pitcher. I can use this to pour water into my cups. So they'll take it and they'll start to form it out like this. That's what God wants us to be in His hands. He wants us to be clay. He wants us to be usable. He wants us to be moldable. Because there's going to be different things in our lives at different times that God wants to use us for. And the thing is, we have to get to the point first that we're willing to hear God working in our lives. We look at the example of Elijah in the Old Testament. God wasn't in the thunderstorm. He wasn't in the tornado. He wasn't in the great wind. It wasn't until he got good and quiet that he heard that still small voice. Oftentimes, we've got to take the iPod phone, headphones out of our ears, turn the television off, turn the radio off, turn the computer off, turn the telephone off. I'm sure there's something I'm missing that we still have to turn off. Make sure everything's off. Say, God, speak to me. I really need to hear from you. God, as I read your word, these are some of the things that I hear. And these are some of the things that I see. How is that supposed to play out in my life? How am I going to bring honor and glory to you? How can I be used as a vessel fit for the Master's use? How can I be that pot, that pitcher, that plate, that bowl, that cup? Because the truth of the matter is, when you sit down to a meal, every one of those things are important. Not a single thing is any more important than the other. Except for if it's in front of me. Not really. The thing that is important is that we get over the idea that this life is about me and making myself happy. And get on track with God's plan for our lives. Because ultimately, the greatest joy, the greatest happiness, the greatest pleasures are found as we allow ourselves to be in the center of God's will. That's when those T-bone steaks taste the best. That's when the walk through the woods is the most enjoyable. That's when the things that God provides for us become better than any time in the past. But we have to be willing to give God our lives and allow Him to work His will in our lives. As I bow in a word of prayer, and I'm going to ask you to join me. Sandy's going to come up here to close us in the song in just a moment. But I'm going to ask everyone to bow their heads and close their eyes. Nobody looking around. That includes Sean. And in the quiet, I want you to take time and ask God, what's the first thing I need to do to find the center of your will? What's the first thing that I need to do? For some here, it may be realizing that I need to repent of my sins for the very first time. For others, it may be I need to be baptized for the remission, as the Bible uses it, or the removal of my sins. I need to be baptized. for others. It may mean I need to become more available to be used in the church by God. For others, it may be reading their Bible and taking time to think about what they read. But in every person's life, there's something that we need to remove or we need to add to become closer to the center of God's will. And it's taking time, and things are quiet. Oftentimes, I hear that voice. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this illustration of the potter. I pray, dear Lord, that those who've had the opportunity to hear this message will realize that they've been trying to be the potter. Well, the truth of the matter is, we're all the clay. I pray as a group of believers that stepping out from this day, our desire will be to be able to find the center of your will. And realizing that finding the center isn't anything that we necessarily have to do, but simply allow you to push us, guide us to that center. And then being willing to be allowed to be molded into the plate, cup, vase, pitcher, bowl that you might have us to be. We pray these things in Jesus' name.